When did teachers become privy to idle adolescent gossip?
That would be when everyone is putting everything up on Facebook. I don't know what your generation's fascination is with documenting your every thought, but I can assure you they're not all diamonds.
Saving our best thoughts for radio, this is The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Roman is having an okay day and bought a Coke Zero at the gas station. Who gives a rat's ass?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Everybody's got a story to tell, a naked truth and you wear it well. Buckle up, another day in the life. Pop a pill, got me feeling all right. Looking up at the buildings above, kind of sticky in the city of love. There's a place if you're feeling down to help you out by sticking around.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody with us tonight. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It is. We are 1 week closer to Michael Bublé season.
That is true. That is very true, actually. And we're going to get a little closer after this show as well, because there might be some Christmas tunes coming up shortly on the show. We'll have to see about that in terms of what we do, but... the song I'm currently listening to is Saint Motel's newest single, Everyone's a Guru Now. Mm-hmm. It's their first single since their 2021 album, the original motion picture soundtrack. Frontman AJ Jackson told Broadway World of the new single, quote, "Around the time I was writing the song, a lot of people I knew had been reinventing themselves as experts in creating personas and courses. Perhaps some of that rubbed off on the lyrical material."
Nice. Love that.
Little shot at his friends and family, which you know, we always appreciate. But Saint Motel is currently prepping for their new tour in 2024, dubbed the Awards Show.
That's great.
I love that tour name, the Awards Show. And it will get as close as Minneapolis on Sunday, April 21st, 2024, if you're looking to check out Saint Motel Live. So there's your information on Saint Motel. Little new song for you in terms of what you can hear in the background. You'll hear it on the way out as well as we fade them out and... You ready for some chatter? Jay, how's life going in daylight savings time for you?
I mean, it's the time of year where it's kind of bearable. However, my brother had his wedding social on Saturday.
Oh.
And we got home at 1 o'clock in the morning because we had to help tear down.
Sure, yeah.
And I was sitting there on my phone, just like waiting for my girlfriend to get ready for bed. And I watched as the time ticked backwards. And I'm like, oh.
It went from 1:59 to 1 a.m.?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing. Did I oversleep the hour that I got back?
I mean, I honestly hate it right now. My cat has no concept of time change. So Everything that happened at 6 a.m. previous to this is now happening at 5 a.m. or 4:30 a.m.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, breakfast is now being served an hour earlier than I want it to be. And she's not very happy.
And it's not even like a benefit to it, right?
No.
Like before then, I'd get up in the morning and it's dark outside. And now I get up in the morning and it's dark outside.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because there's a bunch of stuff. So for those that don't know, and if you watched National Treasure, do you remember National Treasure when they were talking about who invented daylight savings time?
No.
They were in a store. Okay, well, with Nick Cage and Diane Kruger and whoever the other guy is, were standing in the store and they're talking about the time when the shadow was supposed to go across and blah, 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 blah. And they mentioned it was daylight savings time. So in daylight savings time, it happened at this time, blah, 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 whatever. Anyway, and the guy goes, oh, it was Ben Franklin that invented it. Well, that's wrong. Ben Franklin didn't invent daylight savings time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So here's what happened. For those that don't know, Ben Franklin wrote a satirical essay in the spring of 1784 that was published in the Journal de Paris that suggested that Parisians change their sleep schedules to save money on candles and lamp oils. The key word here is that it was satirical. He had no intention of ever making it serious. Mm-hmm. George Hudson, though, this is the guy that kind of started the whole mania. Mm-hmm. George Hudson, an entomologist from New Zealand, seriously proposed that daylight savings time be a thing so that, and I'm not joking about this, yeah, his words, quote, he'd have more time after work of sunshine to go bug hunting in the summer, as per National Geographic. The concept was revisited in World War I as a way to save energy by the U.S., and it was passed by U.S. Congress in 1918. It became a state matter, not a national matter, a state matter during World War II, and it wasn't made a law in the U.S. until 1966 under the Uniform Time Act.
I didn't know it's that last only, part. I knew the war part.
It's only been in effect for 60 years.
Yeah, and everyone says it's about farmers and it's like giving them more daylight time and whatever. No. No, that's a lie. It was literally so the army had more light to work with.
Correct.
And didn't have to spend as much gasoline or energy and, to turn lights on.
And factories hadn't had enough time to, exactly, to basically work during the day, so they didn't have to, you know, again, heat them during the winter, heat them, light them, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where it came from. It was originally just a summer thing, and then it was made into a winter thing, so that you could maximize the number of hours over the summer. So I'm asking right now, and I hope Wob Canoe, I know he doesn't listen to this, Premier of this province, Wob Canoe. I really hope he would go back and revisit this and go, we're done with it. Like, this makes no sense.
Saskatchewan already did it.
If Saskatchewan, Arizona, Hawaii can live without it, so can we.
Yes. It is. It's such a stupid concept. And also, the fact that Ontario has approved it, but they can't get rid of daylight savings time until all of the states south of them agree to it too, because their power grids are connected.
Sure, but my issue again, and I understand how that it's an economical thing with that stupid power grid, which I totally get. But my question is, if you're really that worried about the power grid, make it better. Get your infrastructure working.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, I mean, that's just me. As you're likely aware as well, Saturday is Remembrance Day. Mm-hmm. So Hockey Show and UMFM want to wish everybody a happy Remembrance Day as we take time to honor the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice in protecting our ways of life while also honoring the men and women who are upholding those values today. Thank you for your service if you're still serving. Thank you for your service if you did serve. And thank you to those who may have lost loved ones protecting this great nation. You will be remembered, and certainly take a minute out of your time, a moment of silence at 11:11 on 11:11.
Yes. My grandfather was a mechanic in the British Army.
Oh, nice.
And my great-grandfather was also in the British Army and was a pilot.
My grandfather on my mom's side was in the Air Force over in Europe. So.
Yeah, the RAF. So it's been very helpful because we're doing our family tree and getting to have access to my grandfather and great-grandfather's military service records has been very helpful.
There you go. See? You get to learn a little bit about the family and where everybody came from. That's awesome. Let's get into the hockey stuff, though. We've killed about 10 minutes here already, but we're going to kill probably in the next 45 minutes based upon the insanity that's going on in London, Ontario.
Good Lord.
For those that may remember, back in September, we talked a little bit about how Western University was investigating women's head coach Candace Moxley and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Watson. You might remember us talking about this. There was a bunch of stuff that had been alleged that the coaches had either done or not done. The girls who were making the complaint had complained to like five different levels of university administration and got no response. And they legitimately have been complaining now since 2018, 2019, when Moxley took over. Moxley's been in the position now for 6 years, but 2018, 2019 is when we first saw the first few defections, and it's just been a continual sort of breakdown every year until finally somebody responded to the complaints.
Yeah.
It was the prevost, the student prevost, vice prevost, excuse me, who decided to make this a thing and make the university sit up and take notice. There was an investigation that was going to be conducted. We reported on that Elizabeth Hewitt was the person they appointed, that Western had appointed to investigate, look into these allegations and find out whether or not there was validity to them.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it was, well, we got to wait and see.
Yep.
So let's get into this now, because the wait and see is over. As last Wednesday, November 1st. The report, the investigation was handed back to both the university and the players. Mm-hmm. And let's just say...
Oh, you mean it wasn't handled properly?
Let's just say I'm baffled by the results and shocked.
I am not surprised.
And shocked by the stupidity that's gone on around this. And you're going to hear about a lot of this in the next couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. So bear with us here. So let's go to the allegations first, because the allegations in terms of where we got into this firestorm matter. In terms of what happened. So, the players allege that Moxley pressured players to play through injuries when they were injured.
Which is not a good thing.
Can't really do that if you're talking about health and safety of a student. Mm-hmm. Moxley repeatedly told players that, quote, she didn't care, unquote, about their mental health.
Yep.
That's also not a big thing, especially with how relevant mental health is today.
Yep.
Moxley told her players they were all replaceable. Moxley criticized players' social media posts, telling players they wore clothing that was too revealing.
I am getting flashbacks.
It sounds a lot of Lethbridge in here, but
yep.
Moxley allegedly pressured at least one player to play through a knee injury they had, threatening to bench the player for the remainder of the season if they did not suit up for a game. Moxley did not act following multiple complaints from players that they were being sexually harassed by Jeff Watson, the strength and conditioning coach, including him making inappropriate statements about players' bodies and having inappropriately touched some players. So, I mean, right there...
You've allowed a crime or multiple crimes to happen.
Right there, that's a crime, and we shouldn't even be talking about this any further. There should be charges that are laid, but whatever. Moxley told the player that she should wear longer shorts to avoid having Watson touch them inappropriately when they're working out in the gym, unquote.
So victim blaming.
So basically, it's your fault that Watson's a predator.
Oh, don't show your shoulders, ladies. Don't wear shorts that are too short.
Again, all of that was alleged.
Yes.
Okay, so Elizabeth Hewitt was hired. And for those that don't remember, Elizabeth Hewitt, well known to Western. Mm-hmm. Digging into it, though, Elizabeth Hewitt was very well known to Western. For those that don't know, Hewitt was basically formerly on the board of trustees at Brescia University College, the board of directors at King's University College, and a former adjacent professor in Western's Faculty of Law. So she's been around the Western University campus a lot, because Brescia and King's are both affiliated with the University of Western.
Yeah, they're university colleges. They are
correct.
Extension. They're independent. Well, in very strong air quotes, independent
right.
institution.
I was going to say, make sure that we're calling this as what it is, because for those that don't know, Brescia University College is affiliated with the University of Western Ontario, which we just talked about. But that affiliation will wind down in May 2024 at the end of this school year, at which point Brescia will fully integrate into Western's operation, and Brescia will wind down its operations as an affiliated university college. It essentially becomes another campus for the University of Western.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that the person that sat on the board for them, the board of trustees for them before, had anything to do with that decision, but that looks awfully bad.
Yes.
King's University College also operates as a Western University affiliate, but graduates from King's University College receive Western University branded degrees.
It's just Western with a coat of paint slapped on it.
It's legitimately Fido to Rogers at that point.
Yeah.
You're still a Rogers customer.
Like you hired a staff member to do an investigation.
Well, and obviously Western's Faculty of Law is located right on Western's campus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a problem. So the question was, what was she investigating? And apparently she was investigating the idea of discrimination and harassment on behalf of both Watson and Moxley.
Yes.
There was no investigation about the ignoring of the complaints for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. There was no investigation on whether or not, you know, the players that, in terms of players in the past or present were you present for any of this? Did you hear any of this? What was going on? None of that's been released because the report hasn't been released to anybody. Mm-hmm. So the players haven't actually seen the report. They've only seen the results of the report. The report is being held by Western University.
Of course it is. Because they can't be liable if they don't tell you what they looked at.
I mean, and I wrote this on Hockey Blog in Canada as well. This is like having a police department do an internal investigation and hiring the chief of police to do that investigation.
Yes. The reason we go you know, whenever incidents happen within an institution, you always bring in an independent investigator, is because they are not beholden to either side of that investigation. You hired a staff member to investigate another staff member.
Not only that, but again, there have been several prominent Ontario lawyers who have stepped forward and said, the problem with hiring a lawyer as an investigator is they're looking for litigation, not for actual evidence.
Yeah, they look for liabilities.
Right.
They're not trained to...
That's why they're lawyers evidence. And not investigators.
Yes, you need to hire an investigator.
So the players came back and said, we're not happy with these results. We want to have an independent investigator come out. Well, Western denied that. They already paid for an investigation.
So yeah, you paid her salary.
So, well, she doesn't work for them anymore. So it's technically, I mean, I know what you're saying, but yeah. So technically, they're now kind of screwed, which, okay, I understand that. So, I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouth here, but university spokeswoman Marcia Stayert wrote in an email to TSN on Wednesday that Candace Moxley will continue in her role as the head coach of the women's hockey team. And according to Stayert, quote, Elizabeth Hewitt conducted interviews with 45 individuals and reviewed evidence before determining that the allegations Moxley had breached the school's code of conduct, were unsubstantiated, unquote. Okay, hold on. 45 individuals, mm-hmm. And what evidence?
What questions did you ask?
Who were the 45 you asked?
What were you looking for? What were the objectives of your investigation? What were the...
So here's the thing. I find it a little bit hard to believe that she would release that statement, but this is where things went off the deep end for me in terms of getting dark and murky. As per Rick Westhead, he wrote, quote, while Moxley was cleared by Hewitt, allegations against Western strength and conditioning coach Jeff Watson, who had worked with the school's 38 varsity teams, were substantiated by the investigation and he is no longer employed by the university, Stayert wrote. Yeah, because he resigned at the end of last year.
Also, here's the thing that should be painfully obvious. If you substantiate the claims against him, those happened under her watch.
Right, which would make her culpable.
She was the one that told the players, change your clothes so he doesn't assault you.
No, didn't happen. That didn't happen according to Hewitt. Oh, unsubstantiated.
So she had nothing to do with any of the strength and conditioning? She was never around? She never talked to players about it?
Apparently she wasn't told about this. She never said those comments to the players. She never said unsubstantiated. Remember.
Yeah, it's unsubstantiated because you didn't even ask.
Again, I can buy if it was an isolated incident. This is multiple complaints
from multiple
players over a number of years. Yeah. But, hey.
There's a little adage I like to throw out there. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
There's a lot of smoke. I tend to believe that as well. Again, no investigation has been released in terms of the findings in the report. So we don't know exactly who the 45 individuals were. We don't know if Jeff Watson was one of those individuals that was interviewed. Because if he's left, is he not being made the scapegoat of this entire problem then?
Yeah, they lucked out with the fact that he resigned. Because they could just point and say he was the problem.
But why would he resign? If you know you're being investigated, would you not resign from your position?
Exactly. He resigned so he could escape the firestorm Western an out.
Let me go one more step further. Because again, if you committed sexual assault on a hockey player, on a women's hockey player, and she reports it, and you don't prosecute, what is going on?
Let's not forget, this is Western, or this is London. They don't do that.
Well,
the police
again, we'll
don't
go,
investigate
we'll
stuff
go over
like
London,
that in London.
We'll go over London's reputation in a second here. But
the whole city.
So the team, as of Friday, decided that we're done. They informed Western University President Alan Shepard that they're boycotting all practices and games in which Candace Moxley is involved. Mm-hmm. She was set to return this past Monday, and last Friday they said, we're out. We're done. We're not doing this. Mm-hmm. The letter that they had sent to Alan Shepard, though, had no signatures on it. So they couldn't really identify who is out and who's not out because now they want to know which players want to play and which players don't.
Which is the point.
Which we'll get to in a second in terms of the survey that was sent out. But you are right. the point of being allowed to submit this complaint as a team means you can't single out any players.
Imagine.
This is a confidentiality thing now.
Imagine 8 players sign that complaint. Those 8 players all get cut. They're gone.
But that's what
there's no recourse for them to come back to the university and say, hey, you cut us because we complained.
According to Michael Booth, a Western alumni and brother of a former Western women's hockey player, he wrote in an email to the Gazette, which is the local the newspaper at Western University, that players have been informed that Moxie will return on Monday, meaning Moxie's presence would put next weekend's games in jeopardy, obviously, in terms of the problem. So if they were informed that Moxie was returning as early as Monday, she's been ready to come back for a while then.
Yep.
Again, you've been told sort of just keep away while the investigation is going on. This is all just lining up way too easily for Western and falling apart quickly for the women that are making the complaints.
It sounds like she just expected to come back. They were never going to do anything about this investigation. They did it as a sham.
But here's the part I keep going back to. The players aren't gaining anything from making these complaints. They have everything to lose.
Exactly.
Whether it be expulsion, whether it be being cut from the team, whether it be forced to transfer, whether it be avoiding Candace Moxley for the rest of their lives, they're the ones that have to change in order to make this accommodate everybody else at Western now.
Yes.
Claire Ballas, who wrote a letter on her own to President Shepard explaining why she voluntarily quit the team in 2018-2019, said that basically she was not one of the 45. She was not one of the 45 interviewed. Just want to make that clear. She was not one of the 45 that Hewitt spoke to.
Yeah.
But that she left because it was a toxic environment underneath Moxley. She's a lawyer now.
Yeah. it's literally just a gummy institution doing something to wash their hands of a problem they don't want to have.
It's an absolute farce, if you ask me. I mean, there is nothing
those poor administrators, those poor university presidents. Oh, they're just, we've done them so dirty. They have this problem that they have to deal with. Oh, they're making their lives so difficult. Do your job.
But again, this is where, and again, Alan Shepard is probably I'm not going to say a ringleader. I mean, doesn't sound right. But Alan Shepard is one of these guys, though. It sounds like he's just willing to take the easiest route out of this problem.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to deal with it.
He deals every year with all of the rape and sexual assault allegations that go on during orientation week.
Literally.
Every year.
You can look at it. Every year during freshman week on Twitter, Western University is trending because people are warning freshman students to look out for themselves if they go to university parties at Western.
A CBC News article from 2022, April 2022, party held 4 months after multiple Western University students reported being drugged during orientation week. There was a frat that was basically throwing more parties.
Yeah.
Well, so they didn't get any sort of...
No, of course not.
Like, there's nothing on there? No? Western University's Dangerous O-Week, an LFP Western Gazette investigation. They did the investigation. So, again, the Gazette basically, again, leading the way on this. Western students alleged sexual assault, drugging amid terrifying orientation week, say university didn't do enough to protect female students from rape culture. This is every year this story comes out.
Yes. Because it's a recurring problem at Western University. And that's probably why none of this was handled. Because if they handle one, they have to handle them all. And then they have to really work at fixing this problem. So they're much... And probably people are going to lose their jobs over it. Well, because they're going to liable for all of the crap they've let go on for so long.
So you might be going, okay, well, what's going to come in this? Like, what's happening? Like, that was last week. Mm-hmm. And it's poured into this week now. Again, Friday into Monday. Moxley returns on Monday. On Tuesday, okay? I'll go back to Monday first. I'll go back to Monday. So Candace Moxley said she's prepared to return and support the team after player threats to boycott the games. Oh, that's nice.
Please don't. Just stay away.
Like that's nice. She said, quote, in an email on Thursday, quote, "This has been a terribly, terribly difficult time for women's hockey at Western and for me as a coach. I certainly reflected during this experience and will continue to grow and better myself as a leader."
No, you won't. No, you won't.
What? Like, what are you going to do to grow and better yourself when you've been cleared of all allegations?
Yeah, that's the thing. If you did nothing wrong, then why do you need to reflect and grow?
Right, exactly.
Those are the words of a person who got caught.
You're basically telling everybody, I escaped unpunished.
And I'm acknowledging the fact that I escaped unpunished for something that I did.
So again, they met with players this week. Western's vice provost, John Dirksen, met with players on Wednesday. He told CBC in a statement the letter that was sent to Shepherd was not signed or endorsed by the entire team. Players were asked to fill out a confidential survey signaling their intentions to remain on the team this season under Moxley's leadership or to quit the team. Basically, Western wants to know whether or not individual players are going to stay or leave.
Hold on. If it's a confidential survey, how do you know who's going to stay and who's going to go? What are we talking about here, Western?
Said Dirksen, quote, we asked them to consider responding by today. That was Thursday at 4 p.m. That's today, I guess, in terms of what's going on. By today, Thursday at 4 p.m. Due to our need to plan for this weekend's games, the team did not intend to continue. We need to let Ontario University Athletics, know before the weekend for operational consideration. We can confirm the vast majority of student athletes have indicated their intention to continue playing for the 2023-2024 season. Some players have requested more time, though, to consider their options, and the survey will remain open until everybody has answered the survey. Okay? Like, Dirksen's trying to make this as minimal impact as possible on Western.
Hey, look, they agreed to stick around, so obviously they don't have a problem.
CBC
with
News
it.
Reached out to a number of players, and the individual who shared the letter to the president with CBC was told not to talk to the press.
Oh, that's just that totally seems fine. Don't talk to the press.
You know what? Don't have this out in the media, please.
Don't make this
please
a bigger problem for please us
don't.
Than it already is.
So okay, you think okay, well, you know, that's one setup in terms of what's going on there. Again, as of today, updated 4 hours ago, the vast majority of women's hockey team wants to finish the season as per the London Free Press.
Yeah, okay. I wonder why.
So again, and this is Dirksen speaking, we've now heard from you, we can confirm the vast majority of players have indicated their intentions to continue playing for the 2023-2024 season. You know what makes me, just fires me up on this? The number of players that complained about Michelle Janis in Lethbridge,
yep,
were four, and she was fired.
Yes.
Are you telling me that of a roster of 30 kids, four players don't matter? Because that's what you're telling them.
Mm-hmm.
They came to you with complaints and said, hey, listen, we're having problems here. And you said,
deal with it.
Kick sand. Pound sand, there's the door.
Like,
it took four players in Lethbridge to get a coach fired.
Yeah.
And we have multiple complaints over the span of 2.5 years, and Moxley's completely scot-free of any sort of allegation.
And they are now pitting players against each other to get them to shut their mouths and just play hockey. Because you know that there are players there that don't want to play, and their teammates are sitting there saying, hey, you need to play with us. You need to let this go, because we need to put a competitive team on the ice. We need to try and win a championship. We need to try and be successful.
Louise Koza, the university's director of health, safety, and employee well-being, will be available to all players as well.
How about you get your lawyers ready?
The letter also reminded them that Laura Meisner, a professor and director of Western's School of Kinesiology, has been appointed as a senior advisor on Safe Sport. Okay. So if you're a senior advisor on Safe Sport, then let's go to Safe Sport then, because there's a professor, and I'll pull up his name here in a second. I just got to look up the information here again, but I'll pull up his name here in a second. But he submitted on Tuesday when the Safe Sport site went live.
Yeah,
he submitted a Safe Sport complaint, mm-hmm, and still has not been acknowledged that he sent an email.
Oh, great. That's working properly.
So if you're wondering how well the Safe Sport setup is, and just putting it in place to look like you're doing something is a great way to avoid litigation.
That, or there have been so many complaints, they don't have the staff to respond to them all, which is another problem.
So, well, I mean that alone is I would say probably 90% of the problem, but I mean that could be a big thing. But again, I'll go and grab some of the information here in terms of where's the setup here now.
But like, if you have a school where it is, it's such a part of the mentality of this is just the way things are. How do you expect anything to change?
So McIntosh Ross, well, I want to give you this name right now because McIntosh Ross has been doing yeoman's work on this. He's a professor of sports and human rights who basically has been working all over the place.
Yep.
Fantastic guy. He's from Nova Scotia. I mean, again, I'm not here to pump his tires too much in terms of what's going on, but basically the issue that's coming down from all of this is that Ross has basically been demanding change from Western University. Mm-hmm. He graduated from Western U in 2014. He's an alumni. And again, Ian Kennedy works for the Hockey News, saying the same thing about the school basically silencing these athletes.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, the women, the victims of misconduct, are hurt and worried about their well-being.
Yeah.
Like Ian Kennedy said on a tweet, please listen to them and act for the protection of the students.
You've basically just, because you know as soon as Moxley gets back in there, it is going to be even worse.
But now it becomes seek and destroy because exactly. Now you're trying to find out who made the complaint, right? But again, here's Ross's 2 hours ago. Regarding the complaint I submitted to Western U Safe Sport, if someone submits a Safe Sport complaint to this new system, especially during the week, they should get an acknowledgement of their email within 24 hours. Folks need to know it arrived and it was seen. Fair? Sure, but no acknowledgement yet. That was 2 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what are you doing? And then Western gives them two options, play or quit.
Yeah. And you know that there is going to be, because this is what Moxley has shown herself to be, she is going to squeeze all of the players until she gets them to admit who made the complaint and who worked together to make the complaint and who was on the fence about coming back or quitting, so she can start cutting people and benching people and making their lives miserable until they quit.
So Martine Denny, an assistant professor in Robson Hall, okay? She works, she's a PhD candidate at the U of Calgary. She works for she's a hockey and society contributor. She works in sports law, very well distinguished in terms of her credentials. She says, she wrote a tweet, basically quote tweeted McIntosh Ross about how, you know, basically they're silencing students and this is wrong. She writes, quote, "This is precisely why I work with the question of consent around various sporting practices, hazing, abuse, violence, relationships with coaches, etc. Choosing to stay for the love of sport is not consent to abuse. It's not consensual when the only choice is to quit."
Mm-hmm. Like, you can't give people two options.
Like, this is what I'm saying. This is like Western has done just about everything they can to destroy these women. And it's time that somebody pays a price out there. I don't care if it's Candace Moxley. You don't have to fire her. Alan Shepard's on the chopping block. He failed them. There was a number of other the athletic director that's out there who came in after the previous athletic director left and ignored their complaints. Mm-hmm. Both of those those people should be on the chopping block, although one's already gone, but whatever. But again, Moxley should be on the chopping block. Anybody that's related to this whole mess should have their hands not only slapped but cut off at the same time.
Like,
you should not be able to handle sports the way that you're handling it.
You have a clear-cut example of how to handle this from a program that no longer exists in Canada West, and you chose to do the exact opposite. Because what? Because it was too much work for you? Because Candace Moxley's job is too valuable? That doesn't bother you? Are you actively making the decision to just let this go on, or are you just being negligent and lazy in the discharge of your job?
Well, but I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, there is so much wrong. Dr. Ann Peguero, who works for the University of Guelph, saying there's so much wrong with this. Listen and believe your athletes. Independent inquiry is always needed, and stop using ultimatums to silence them.
Yes. They're literally doing everything wrong.
I'm at the point now where I just don't understand how society works anymore, because if this is the way that we're going to treat these young women who are going to be our next leaders, good bloody luck.
But it's like, it's 2023.
This is why you're basically saying this is, you're basically the example now of why victims don't come forward.
Yes, exactly. Because they're not listened to. Nobody cares. Like, you're showing the exact wrong thing here, and it is going to cost them their jobs. You know this problem's not going away.
I don't think it will, though, because, again, they're the ones holding all the cards. They have every card in the deck in their hand right now. They have the report, which they haven't released. They have an allegation, an unsubstantiated allegation finding by a lawyer, and they are the administrators.
But remember how long it took anything to change with Hockey Canada?
Sure.
But
this is going to have to happen again and again and again, yes, and again and again until finally somebody goes, enough's enough.
Yeah.
Somebody who has a conscience at Western University goes, you know what? I'm not going to stand for this.
We've talked about situations like this over and over and over again on this show. It's the response is so simple. You suspend the coach, you bring in an interim, you hire an independent external investigator to do an investigation.
So one and two in terms of she was on leave because she had, again, there was a birth of a child in there. So she was on leave already, and they already had an interim coach. They still have an interim coach that's there.
Yes.
So now you're on to number three, which is the independent investigation. Keep going if you want.
But you have those. You have an independent investigation.
Didn't happen.
You bring the, when the report is finished, you share it with everybody involved openly and publicly so everybody can see the results and the findings of the report, a la the Kyle Beach situation. And then you act accordingly.
So Rachel Den Hollander is the one who was talking about how lawyers go search for litigation rather than searching for the truth. Mm-hmm. She says, quote, "It is very difficult for an attorney to switch out of liability mode and into truth and transparency mode. Law school flips your moral compass on its head," unquote.
Yeah. You're training to do a very specific job that is not nice.
The Canadian Student Athlete Association advocacy group founded by Western alum and former football player Garrett Holmes urges Western University to hear these student athletes and to prevent any more silencing. There are so many people that are talking about it. 50 professors signed a letter that was sent to the administrators. 50, 50, saying that there's a problem with the sports programs at Western University and a full inquiry needs to be done on it.
Shocker. It's people protecting their jobs. That's all this is. It's not about doing right.
But this
is
the problem, though.
Protecting their job.
Right, but that's the problem. I mean, again, you can't look at this now and go. This has been a fair and equitable investigation. It hasn't been.
Yeah.
So let's stop doing this. Let's stop messing around and just start looking at the bigger picture. Because, like, at some point, Western is going to crumble. It's a house of cards right now.
Yes. It is going to crumble. But at this point, it is very clear that they're deliberately doing it wrong because they know if they do it right, they're going to get exposed.
Guess what? It's only going to get worse the further you push it down the line. Hi, Hockey Canada.
Yeah, exactly. We've been through the song and dance before this year.
Like, I don't know. This is ridiculous, but we've now spent half an hour talking about this, and legitimately, we could probably spend another half hour talking about it because it's absolutely just disgusting. I will say this. I stand with the women at Western University. Mm-hmm. I stand with the players, and I hear you. I believe you. Mm-hmm. And if you need a voice and you want to talk, the show is yours.
Yep.
Anybody. I know they don't listen to us, but we'll make it clear that if anybody hears this and knows somebody going to Western University, your voice will be heard on this radio program.
Yep.
So at some point, somebody's got to pay the piper, and it should not be the young women that are playing hockey out there.
Never should.
But whatever. I don't have that say, which I wish I did, but whatever. Let's go on to a little bit more fun stuff now, I guess, because the Jets seem to like hockey a little bit more. They look like they were having fun against St. Louis on Tuesday night. Connor Hellebuck's tied for second in wins early this season, but it seems the new kids are fitting in nicely as well. Several Jets threw bodies in front of open nets to prevent goals from being scored. It sounds like team might be a bit of a team again.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on it so far?
I mean, unfortunately, they're playing very boring hockey.
You know what? Not going to disagree with that, but it's winning hockey.
Yeah, it is.
And in this city, winning hockey matters.
Yeah, exactly. It was so funny because I was going through Money Puck and I was looking at some of their analytics dashboards. And the Jets are firmly in the boring category when it comes to the expected goals for versus expected right. goals against chart.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I expect from a Rick Bonus, Scott Arneal coached team.
That's precisely it.
I'm happy that the team is winning and things are starting to gel. Like, guys are getting opportunities, at least up front. I think the defense is still a mess that needs to be... You need to take a crowbar to that and clear some space for the once Billy Hamlin is healthy again. But you need to clear some space. You know, Nate Schmidt is statistically your worst defenseman right now.
Okay, but so if you're Minnesota today, you trade Kalen Addison for Zach Bogosian, basically. Like, you make two separate trades.
Yeah.
Why could Nate Schmidt not be the return for Kalen Addison?
Because it's the Jets, and because Kevin Cheveldayoff loves his guys.
But he's a right-handed defenseman. He's 23. Or a right-side defenseman, not right-handed, but a right-side defenseman. He's 23.
Again, that right there. Right there. He's 23.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's the problem. He's anyway. 23.
I can't explain it either. I have no idea what the love affair is between the Jets and Mason Appleton, because he hasn't shown anything in 2.5, 3 years with the Jets. But I can't deny that the Niederreiter, Lowry, Appleton line might be one of the most dominant in the NHL
that is
right now.
Such a good line. Niederreiter was such a good pickup last year.
You know what? If he wants $4.5 to $5 million like Foligno got in Minnesota, you give it to him right now, because he is everything you want on as a third liner.
Exactly.
I know he's expensive. Don't get me wrong. I know that's an expensive buy-in, but him and Lowry look so good together.
Yeah, they're gelling really well together, and I think that it is such a boost to Lowry, and it really shows how well the culture is shifting with this team, with a new leader wearing the C
right.
and being the vocal, like the voice in the room.
So, I mean, would you agree with me? And again, you can deny it if you think I'm completely out of my mind, but was this city not begging for a blue collar captain?
Yes.
A lunch pail captain where you go, all right, Blake Wheeler's a good guy, but he's an elite scorer. He's not a lunch pail guy.
Literally, when Adam Lowry was given the C, I was like, that's a Winnipeg captain. Like, that is a Winnipeg Jets captain. If you know anybody who plays hockey in this city, it is anybody who has gone on to play hockey at a high level.
Yes.
Manitoban hockey players have a very clear identity. We play with chips on our shoulders, workhorse, lunch pail, blue-collar hockey players. There's some skill there, but we're not the flash and flare. We're not Quebec hockey players. We're not Ontario hockey players. We will beat you up in the corners, beat you in the front of the net, or beat you in the back alley after
right.
the game is
that,
done.
That sounds about right.
That is exactly what Adam Lowry is as a captain, and I don't know why we... because. Andrew
well,
Ladd,
I get he was young. Like, I understand he was youthful, but like the youth was a problem
but
before
Andrew
that.
But Andrew Ladd had those qualities. He shifted his game to be a lot more of a lunch pail guy while he was captain of the Jets.
Yeah.
And then he goes and they bring in Blake Wheeler as the new captain. And it is a completely different, like a total mentality shift when you really, if you are trying to ingratiate yourself to this city and the people of this city, you need to pick the right identity, and having an elite goal scorer, point getter guy is not the guy you need. Like it exactly, like the best evidence of Adam Lowry being the perfect captain for the Winnipeg Jets is just how supportive just across the league everyone is. Everyone looks at him and they say, yeah, that's a Winnipeg Jets captain right there.
But I think that's the thing, though, is that, I mean, we're begging for it in terms of, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put a guy in there that might mean something. Like,
but he's a guy that shows heart and, like, compete, and he doesn't whine and cry when his cookies are taken away or
things get tough
with the media or the fan base
right.
or whatever. He just puts his head down and plays.
And, again, I know that you can't, you know, it's going to be a completely different setup or whatever. But I mean, when Keith Tkachuk was the captain in Winnipeg, it was the same issue that Blake Wheeler had, in that he was always one of the elite scorers, not the lunch pail guys.
Yeah. But it's exactly like it's the exact problem that Toronto has, right? The good thing about the strength that Winnipeg has now is they've got heart and soul guys who will bleed Navy for this team. And the Leafs have a bunch of guys that are paid a lot and have letters who won't even grab somebody when Brad Marchand injures one of their best young defensemen in front of everybody, and Tyler Bertuzzi sits there laughing. Like, it's just a complete, like, that's the mentality that Toronto fans wish that team had, and that's what Adam Lowry brings.
I mean, the bottom six might be as strong as any team they'll face as well. That bottom six with Kupari, Gustafsson, and Morgan Barron is ridiculous.
I love Morgan Barron. Also, that is fastest player in the NHL, Rasmus Kupari.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true as well. Gabe Vilardi going to be back shortly, so there's going to be a boost to the top six as well. There's been some discussion, though, and I mean, it's happened on other radio stations, about what to do with Ehlers, with Nikola Ehlers. And my answer is, let him play. Let him figure it
literally,
out. Just because he missed all of training camp, basically. Mm-hmm. Let him figure out his line mates, because Gabe alongside him, and then if you move Iafallo down there, mm-hmm. becomes a different line again for him.
Yeah. You don't want to move Iafallo from his spot. You do not want.
I know he's playing top line right now, but you want Vilardi back in that spot. He's a better scorer than what Iafallo is. But I like Iafallo. Iafallo can be used all over the lineup.
Yeah,
he's fantastic.
He's fitting really well there with Connor and Scheifele. Yeah. And I think having Vilardi there with Nikolai Ehlers might be a great way to get him
as a finisher.
Shaken.
As a finisher with a setup guy like Ehlers, maybe that's what you need to shake him out
of that funk. And, you know, you either have to, because that's the thing with Ehlers is you just, whenever he's been in a slump, you just let him ride it out and eventually he'll fix it.
Well, and I mean, you kind of hope to see that. I mean, I know the Jets are playing well right now in terms of what they're doing. So we'll see if they can get everything going. They play the Nashville Predators tonight at home. Predators coming in 5-7-0 against the 6-4-2 Jets. So another big Central Division matchup there. And we'll see if the Jets can extend their winning streak now a little bit more. I know they nearly set a record, but the Flyers are like, nope, not on our watch. We're not going to let you have that record, San Jose. But the Sharks started the season with 11 straight losses before beating Philly 2-1 on Tuesday night. This isn't a tank job. Like, San Jose is legitimately terrible. Like, they're awful. Should the NHL be encouraging these kinds of rebuilds where it seems like the Sharks won't be competitive for at least a decade? Because I look at this and I go, they did it with Chicago. Chicago's going to be terrible for a decade. They're now doing it with San Jose. Like, if a third of your league cannot compete with anybody else, what are we doing?
But it's the problem. It's the hole that Buffalo got themselves into, right?
Sure, but this is what I mean, though. Like,
and Arizona's now gotten themselves into,
right,
where you tank super hard, but you still need to fill out your roster with guys that can play. So when you start picking it back up, you have the veteran talent there. You have the skill there to actually pick yourselves back. Like, you tanking, but they're doing it in the exact wrong, like, I don't, for a long time I have not known who the San Jose Sharks are trying to be, right?
Well,
when they brought in Erik Karlsson, signed him to that big deal and all of that, and it's like, okay, are they trying to be competitive?
Well,
they're,
but that worked
back
though
with
Brent,
and...
but that worked there with Brent Burns beside him, and then they traded Burns away, and then they traded everybody else away, and it was just Karlsson and Couture, and you were like, where did the rest of this team go?
Yeah, but it's like, what are you trying to do? Like, what's the objective here? What kind of team are you trying to build? Are you just, because you're not doing the Arizona thing where they're just bad for the sake of being bad, because it's Arizona and it looks like they're just bad.
Arizona's not doing too bad this season to start off the season, though, so might have to bite our tongues a little
bit. The magic of Logan Cooley, though.
Him and his one goal?
But
what?
Like, it's just like... They put themselves in such a horrible contract hole before this, but now they are, if you lose that badly for that long, it sets in to the culture and just like the DNA of the team.
Right.
And it's so, and Buffalo is the perfect example of this.
Nobody wanted to play there. Yeah.
Edmonton was a great example of this until they got McDavid.
We're going to talk about that in a second because it's happening
again.
But
eventually, like, things have to change, right? Like, they basically, Buffalo sewered the start. Like, they wasted Jack Eichel for so long because they couldn't build a team around him.
Yeah.
They ship him off to Vegas and he wins a Stanley Cup. And proves the type of player that he was the whole time.
Sure. But at the same time, though, and again, Buffalo is a perfect example of this, nobody wanted to play there for the longest time because there was no reason to go there. Like, give me a reason for me to play in this city other than you're going to pay me a whole crap load of money to come here. Mm-hmm. Jeff Skinner's $8 million contract still hasn't panned out. Like, I'm sorry, but it hasn't.
Alexander Semin 2.0.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's, we're talking about high-priced, high, for a guy that really only scored, what, he had 50 goals that one season, or 49 goals or whatever it was that one season. So, I mean, he hasn't done it again. But there are other problems in this league. Edmonton waived highly priced goaltender Jack Campbell. I don't know if they have a cartographer on the bench, but they may want to find one because it seems like the Oilers defense can't find their own zone with a map right now.
Man, Hockey Psychology did such a great break, like a very short but great breakdown of Edmonton's defensive problem.
They're awful.
It is.
Yeah.
They are literally playing the easiest defensive system. It's the defensive system you use when you don't have good defense, and they can't even get that right.
People are going to say, well, they beat Calgary. Yeah, they're 2-8-1 right now this season. They play San Jose tonight, so something's got to give. But the question is, how do you trade any of these overpriced guys right now, other than Dreisaitl and McDavid, to help? Because you have nobody.
Oh, the magic of the Ken Holland effect. You bring in a bunch of guys that don't help your team, and
this
you
is
sign a bunch of bad deals.
When people start hiring Ken Holland, I always question this, because I go, he's not a good GM. It was easy to play in Detroit because you were winning. Everybody wanted to play there.
Yes.
Everybody wanted to play for Bowman. Bowman knew what kind of team he wanted.
Yeah.
He told Holland who to go sign. It's not hard to play for a team like that when the guy running the bench is the same guy running the team. Holland's just there as a figurehead. Now that he's got to make decisions, he looks like he's completely lost half the time.
Yeah. It's and also, like, he was within a well-oiled machine in Detroit, right? Like,
but that's, again, that's a Scotty Bowman thing.
Yeah. So, like, you're now in this situation where you have no direction. You have guys, like, for all intents and purposes, people want to play in Edmonton because they want to play with Connor McDavid.
Sure. I'm not going to deny, like, that. But again, Connor Brown is not the solution to your problems.
And they bring people in, they're successful for one season, then they saddle themselves with a massive contract with no move clauses and all of these other
pieces.
Did
you say Evander Kane right there?
Oh, yeah. Well, jeez. Evander Kane, Darnell Nurse.
$8.9 million Darnell Nurse.
Jack Campbell. I wonder how much they're going to pay
Stuart
Skinner.
But this is what I mean, though.
Around.
They have nobody they can move that's worth anything. Maybe Zach Hyman's your best option. But Zach Hyman's the only guy who does anything that's not named McDavid or Dreisaitl.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the same problem Toronto's got themselves.
Like, why did you re-sign Warren Fogle? What has he done?
The coach liked him. The team likes him. Good gritty guy.
Hit the bricks. So Edmonton's awful. They're going to play San Jose tonight, another awful team. And legitimately, whoever loses that game should probably be awarded the first overall pick.
God, it's
just
going to be so
just because.
Funny. Because we were talking about this in the years when Edmonton wasn't good. And where people talking about, like, okay, when is Connor McDavid going to want out? When's Connor McDavid going to want out? It looks like he wants out right now.
Yeah, his agent, though, is the assistant GM now. So, I mean, what are you going to do? We joked about this last week, and you know what? I'm going to save this for now. We'll go to the last story we got here, though.
Yep.
I'll do that one first, and then we'll do the fun stuff. Footage of the Alex Galchenyuk arrest came out this week. Wow. The tirade that he unleashed on all the officers that were standing around and certainly doing their work was quite vile.
Yeah.
We're not going to play it. I have no interest in letting that kind of language loose on the air. But the reports from the police that weren't included in the police report is that tirade that he went on lasted for over 15 minutes while they drove him to the police station.
Excuse me?
It took them 15 minutes to get to the police station, and he unleashed the entire time talking about killing families and hurting, you know.
Turning them into bolognese.
Right, yeah, like the, like, and then
one
all
call
of
to Russia
all of the cursing and all of the racial stuff
slurs
that went on. 15 minutes.
Every, literally 4 seconds, every sixth
right
word out of his mouth was a racial slur.
So Alex Galchenyuk is probably done in the NHL for good.
Should be.
For those that may be wondering, he's now playing over the SKA St. Petersburg. We reported on that before.
Oh,
26 games. 9 goals, 9 assists. 5 of his goals will come on the power play. He averages about 16 minutes of ice time per game.
Also, I saw some people confused in the replies to some of the tweets sharing clips. That's not an accent. He's from Wisconsin. He was so out of his mind that he just lapsed into... It's like how after a few drinks, I sound even more prairie than I do on a day-to-day basis. he just lapsed into whatever that was.
It's not good. If you want to look it up online, feel free. But it's, I mean, again, Galchenyuk, this is the last time we'll really ever mention Alex Galchenyuk on this program. This is, he's done. Like, he's done to me. So whatever. We did mention last week, we're going to introduce a new feature on this show called the Melbourne Moment. We now have a tie-in with the Melbourne Mustangs that we're proud of. Today's Melbourne, the first ever Melbourne Moment comes to us from Channel 9's Today Show as Brooke Boney brings us a story. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do much more than set this one up. I'm going to let you listen to this, but I encourage you to listen for the other hosts in the background who react to the name of this product that she's going to talk about. So, this is about 20 seconds of craziness. So, again, clear whatever noises around you, clear, because this is insane. Here we go.
Meanwhile, Kmart has had to pull one of its Christmas items off the shelf because of its unfortunate wording. The shopping giant selling ham Christmas calico bags with the slogan Merry Hammas, which appears to be too similar to the name of the terrorist group Hamas. The Australian Jewish Association complaining to Wesfarmers, saying the wording is not a good look.
No, the wording is not a good look. Christmas Hammas. definitely not a good look. So, but I mean, just the other host in the background, just, oh dear. And that made the news this week, folks. So that's
holy
all the,
moly.
That was on the news on Australian news there. So there you
Who
go.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Again, you think, you know, you've got a month to really sort of get your head in the game and go.
And Kmart's not a small organization.
No. Oh, a month, man, to get your head in the game and you still roll it out and go, oh yeah, that's, no, we made a mistake.
That's not good. Guys, turn on the news.
So yeah, so they had every right to, or the complaints that came in from the Jewish Association there, every right, I think, to complain about that because it's not good.
Holy moly!
So yeah, there's the news from Australia this week. We're gonna do one of those every week. We're gonna have a little bit of fun with that, but that made the news the news yesterday down on Channel 9.
Hambus.
Oh, Jamie, got about a minute left. Anything you want to say before we get out of here tonight?
I have been on a couple podcasts talking about my book. One, the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast. We had talked for like 2 hours about books and stuff. It was
Look
great.
At you.
Check that out. It's linked on my Twitter. And forthcoming, I will be on Living the Next Chapter, which is another literary podcast, so keep an eye out for that one.
Jason is now famous, everybody, so if you want, autograph, get your book, and he'll come autograph it wherever you are. Well, he won't really do that, but either way.
My travel ability is limited.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, we'll figure something out for you, but that'll do it, folks. We're out of here for another week here on The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being part of this craziness that we call a show every week. We'll be back next week. A little more fun and a little more craziness here on The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Outside my mind, everyone's a guru now. Just call when you feel right. Wow.
People were so nice in Winnipeg. It was freezing, and they kept apologizing for the weather. They're like, sorry it's so cold, sorry it's so cold. I was like, I'm almost positive it's not your fault. But they kept apologizing, sorry about the weather. Eventually I was like, did you not pay a bill or something?
Politely broadcasting from Winnipeg, this is 101.5 UMFM.
Weather worked different up here?